From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. We've got a great show for you today. We got food writer Mark Bittman coming on later to play our game. But first, big news this week about Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's office being bugged. Maybe you heard the tape of his staff making fun of potential Democratic challenger Ashley Judd. Well, yeah, of course, this paled in comparison to the other bugging scandal this week, the NPR bugging scandal. For the first time on this show today, we're ready to release the tape of the wiretap we placed on Terry Gross's phone.
See, here's the thing about Sagal. Carl Castle has been carrying that guy for years. Sagal wouldn't know a limerick if it walked right up and bit him in the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me? More like, Wait, Wait, Don't Turn On the Radio when that is on. Anyway, good talking to you, Ira.
Well, if you've got anything you'd like to say for everyone to hear, give us a call. The number, of course, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Jen from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hey, how are things in Grand Rapids?
Cold and rainy, but otherwise fabulous.
Well, yeah, I bet. What do you do there?
I'm a temp at the Gerald Ford Presidential Museum.
The Gerald Ford Presidential Museum.
Indeed.
I bet a lot of people did not realize there was one.
Yes, there is. There's two.
There are two presidential libraries for Gerald Ford?
Well, there's the library in Ann Arbor and then the museum in Grand Rapids.
Right. And what sort of things do they have there at the Gerald Ford Museum?
Well, they have Nixon's resignation letter.
Oh. Shouldn't that be in the Nixon Museum?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, Jen, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, it's a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning. Ms. Faith Saley is here.
Hi, Jen.
Next, it's the comedian and host of the Who's Paying Attention podcast, Mr. Alonzo Bowden is here.
Hello.
Hello.
Finally, it's the host of the podcast that is taking over the known world, Too Beautiful to Live. It's Luke Burbank.
Hiya, Jen.
Hi.
Jen, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle, of course, is going to recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. You know the drill. Explain or identify two of them. Do that, you'll win his voice, and it will go wherever you want. Ready to play?
I am.
Here's your first quote.
If you want anything said, ask a man. If you want anything done, ask a woman.
That was a woman who lived out of that credo. She did a lot before she died this week at the age of 87. Who was it?
Margaret Thatcher.
Yes, indeed. Margaret Thatcher. Baroness Thatcher.
Can I just say that Carl sounded exactly like Meryl Streep there?
He did. A lot of people found out about Ms. Thatcher's passing on social media. The hashtag, now Thatcher's dead, began trending. And people got really upset when they saw it because it was all squeezed together like a hashtag. It could also be read as, now that share's dead. So a lot of people were upset about Margaret Thatcher passing, a lot of other people getting upset about Cher's passing, which wasn't true.
How did Cher feel about it?
Cher was, I think, moderately perturbed, but flattered that people cared. And when you think about it, the two groups joined together because they had so much in common. Both women had opinions about gypsies, tramps, and thieves. And of course, both had very short-lived marriages with Greg Allman, by coincidence. So.
A lot of that gets left out of Margaret Thatcher's history.
It's
time
true.
With Greg Allman.
It's true. Well, a lot of people, I mean, it's interesting. She was quite revered in America because she was such a, you know, a pioneering figure. But in Britain, she had a tremendous amount of split opinion about her.
In fact, still is, right?
Yeah, still is. And as a matter of fact, a lot of the people, the punk rockers who were protesting her back in the 80s when she was in power came out to, you know, show their anger now that she's died. And so they were having celebrations all over London. It's kind of hard to still be a punk this many years later. I mean, mohawks aren't as intimidating when it's just your comb-over dyed purple. Your next quote is from a man named Jason Weiner. He was speaking to his brother.
Dude, you'd be a great mayor or something.
This week, Jason Weiner's brother said he's considering a return to politics. Who is he?
I don't know.
Well, his last name is Wiener.
Oh. That was it, the governor?
It wasn't just his name, it was the cause of his fall from grace.
Yeah. He tweeted the picture of...
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
Was it Andrew?
Oh, close enough. It's Anthony Wiener. You know who he is. Anthony Wiener. You can only imagine what's going to be in the Anthony Wiener Museum someday. It's been 2 years since Anthony Wiener's political career was destroyed by Anthony's Wiener. But thanks to an 8,000-word profile in the New York Times Magazine, we now know we may not have seen the last of him. The piece is worth a read, if only because the author of the article uses the phrase Clintonian rise when talking about Anthony Wiener without cracking up.
This brother, Jason Wiener,
yeah,
sounds like he's the Billy Carter of this relationship. He also said that,
yes,
his brother's a lot less douchey.
Well, what
now.
He said was he was talking about how Anthony Wiener, because he was, if you may remember, that he was a congressman. He was very brash. He was very outspoken. He was constantly on cable news and the floor of the House, berating people and condemning his enemies and so on and so forth. And he's been humbled. And he's changed, and his brother says, quote, there was definitely a douchiness about him I just don't really see anymore, unquote. So it's not exactly Old Hickory or the Great Communicator, but slightly less douchey has some punch, I guess.
Could be a slogan.
What bigger endorsement do you need if you're going to be a mayor or something? Then he's less douchey than he used to be.
Yeah. Doesn't it
I'm
also...
just thinking, what was his level of douchiness then?
Yeah.
I mean, to say he's less douchey now, well, yeah.
Is there a recovery program for douches?
Oh, no doubt.
Like a 12 steps?
Listen, Tiger had to go through his sexual
Elliot
rehab,
Spitzer?
And
Elliot
he's
Spitzer?
Number one again, so douchey rehab might improve your life.
Yeah. All right, Jen, here is your last quote.
I'm just a white man coming to you from the Southland.
Those are the lyrics to a new song by Brad Paisley. It's called Accidental Racist, and it made headlines this week because, accidentally or not, it seems to be pretty darn what?
Racist?
Yes. The song starts with Paisley addressing the man serving him at Starbucks, saying he hopes he's not offended by his Confederate flag shirt. He's not wearing it because he's racist. He's just, quote, caught between Southern pride and Southern blame, unquote. Now, before you say Brad Paisley is just some obtuse white guy, he has LL Cool J come in and rap in the song. Yep, Brad Paisley is basically saying, some of my best friends are LL Cool J.
And does LL Cool J say, don't be offended by my fist in your face?
Something, no. Yeah.
He kind of does a little bit.
Yeah.
He basically says, and my problem with the song is that LL Cool J does this rap that basically says, I'll forgive your Confederate flag, which is, a lot of people would say, a sign of the subjugation of
yes,
a ton of people. And he says, if you forgive me for wearing a do-rag, which is just like basically a headwear choice.
Yeah.
And that's the moral equivalency that I don't really get. It's sort of like everybody made some mistakes.
Sure.
We all got out of hand. I'm like, I think most of the mistakes were by the people who owned other people.
Yeah.
That seems like the majority of the mistakes were on that side of the ledger.
Yeah.
Yeah, LL, I mean, that's what he's saying. He's like, okay, you can't prejudge me for wearing saggy pants or a do-rag, and I won't prejudge you for wearing a Confederate shirt. But, you know, like, it's easy for LL to say that because he's like 6'6", 240, solid muscle.
Yeah.
I forgive him for a lot.
Exactly.
I'm like, if his pants want to sag, that's okay with
yeah,
me. But if I see a little white guy in a Confederate shirt, we're going to have a problem.
I understand. Carl, how did Jen do in our quiz?
Jen, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done. Congratulations, Jen.
Not everything we've done.
I'll forget the iron.